I'm Saeed Cisse. My company is Smart Connect IoT. It's a technology company out in IoT Valley in La Berge, Toulouse. And it's a company I've moved, transplanted from Silicon Valley to France. I've made here my headquarters for R&D development and marketing sales, Europe, Middle East, Africa, Eastern Europe, and beyond. And then in the state side, we keep marketing and sales there. And then we're setting up support in Canada for the Americas, right down to the Caribbean. And
This is
Diversified
Game.
A podcast giving entrepreneurial advice from a diverse and inclusive perspective with Kellen.
He may agree, he may oppose, and it's more than just race. It's about, you know, ideas.
So let the game begin.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, I am bringing you some game, whether you are watching on iTunes, iHeart, YouTube, or our latest partner at AYV Radio, Sierra Leone. I have the king of technology. He may be the one to transform a whole country. Brother Chief, we'll say doctor of technology. Saeed, he's going to give us the game and say, show us how he's gone from Salon Bobo, for those of you who understand, to California, to Florida, and now he's in France. Man, how many languages do you speak, Saeed?
Yeah. A few. I mean, what I've done over the years is just learn to say, be courtesy, you know, people appreciate it. Say, hello, thank you, bye-bye, nice things in the language, you know, and principally I speak three, four languages, you know, but yeah.
I love it. And you speak, don't forget, you know, the code languages that you know. I mean, we got to count those as well.
Yeah. Oh, there's probably half a dozen Sophia languages, more than I know. If we don't speak it, we write it, you know?
They will
make computers do things for people.
Can you tell people, especially for those listening in Salon, to how did you go from Salon to America to Europe? Because a lot of people, they're like, I want to fall bush. I need to get out of here to expand. But what do they need to be studying? What do they need to be investing in right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, I normally make a joke with people that was a long swim, you know, across the ocean. But that's not the case. You study STEM, you know, maths, physics, chemistry. I went to Christ the King College, CKC, one of the best schools. I mean, you went there, you had to be good to get in. And when you were there, you even have to be even better to stay there, you know. But apart from that, scholarships, you go overseas. You study, you know, I studied computer science in Australia after going to a few different countries and started working in computer space. And I'll knock on wood that I've been, say, lucky that I found myself in a realm where it was an open gambit. It was not like if I was working in a mechanical engineering space or making cars, it's all laid out, you know. When I was studying computer science, it was all brand new. So you have to just show yourself, you know what I'm saying? So that really worked out. I worked for the Australian government, for the telephone company, oil company, and then over to UK, British government, Film Institute, got headhunted to the States, working for financial outfits over there, ended up in Silicon Valley, and I eventually started my own company.
At what point, and we're not, I don't want to jump any steps, but you guys are going to have to read and bother Saeed about writing a book and putting this book to a movie for those of you
it's
who
don't.
Yes. But I want to know at what stage, because we've all had to do jobs that we didn't want to do. But the immigrant story is different, where sometimes you just are, it's really survival mode. But because you're so highly skilled, at what point did you, was it Australia or when you got to the States to say, you know what, I actually get to choose, pick and choose what I want to do. And I know what I don't want to do, more importantly, like at what level and what age were you at when you had that freedom?
Well, I got to tell you again, it's just, I think, honestly, I'll take you way back to my upbringing. from day one in my house, we did what we wanted to do. Our parents, my parents encouraged me, you know, you are not under the thumb of anything. And then going to CKC, that was even more freedom. I mean, you are in school, very bright people from around the country, you know, you excel in whatever. So you knew then, like when we are in a high school, you can say, if I want to be a doctor, I can be a doctor. I can be an engineer. I can be, you know, you name it. You know what I'm saying? You can, you wanted to be a lawyer. You had a lot of choices, actually, of what you can be and do. And what one of those was that we, then you end up with, we end up with something like, what would I say? You know, 1 second. I left the fridge open. You end up with yeah, sorry. You can cut that out. But you end up with a scenario where, you know, like 7 years in Catholic boarding school, you philosophize and you think like, what do I want out of life? You know, happiness, you know, and then what can make you happy if you are useful to the next human being, you know? And through life, I found out that, okay, if I can make computers do work for people, so it really started with, I see some official steps up and somebody opens the door for them, you know? And I go like, no, everybody should walk there with their hands in their pocket and we put a computer, it can open the door for them, you know? You don't need somebody to stand here. So long story short, today I write software for automation so that it can automate people's existence, basically, you know? Yeah. But overall, right through to living in the Western world, traveling around the world, there was never a situation. I did odd jobs. I worked in a bar. I mean, I was working in this bar, and then I told the guy, I said, look, I got computer science classes, man. I'm not coming back here. He goes, oh, no, I need you. I say, yeah, I know. I'll help you find somebody else. But I got 8 o'clock a.m. computer science class, and it's not working on me hanging out here, man. So I didn't go back, you know. So, again, you know, those are the things, you know. You always have a choice. Yeah.
I want to talk about the appreciation or the lack of, because here you are working at a bar. We've all worked at jobs where we knew we were smarter than the managers, the supervisors, sometimes even the owners, right? But we, yeah. In the words of Nipsey Hussle, we had no platform to prove, to show how great we were. Were you ever at a job where you say, I know I can do it a better way, and the supervisors or the owners, they just didn't get it, even though you had, you know, the knowledge and maybe more knowledge than them in automating or doing something in software?
Definitely. I mean, professionally, you encounter that all the time. You have to prove it to your team that, okay, this is a better way to go. You got to get street creds, you know, from other programmers. You're like, I'll give you some example. We had a system in a remote place, and there was no GSM coverage to send out the alarms. So I said, okay, we'll get this computer to talk to the other computer downtown and send a message, and the one downtown can broadcast, right? And one of the junior programmers said, oh, no, it can't be done. I said, how do you know it can't be done? I said, I just know these things. I said, okay, listen, I was so ready to fire his ass, man. I said, listen, if I show you it can be done, how it can be done, are you going to do it or not? And suddenly I got his attention. He stood up to attention. Yes, I will. I said, thank you. You sit down, take a computer over there. Let me show how it can be done. I walk him through it, and I said, you take care of it, finish it, and let me know. We'll do the testing. So that's professionally. But I've done a lot of volunteer work, like in Atlanta, Chicago, you know, Australia. I used to volunteer a lot. Just keep filling my time, you know, help people, you know. And then you show up, because they are not paying you, you know. Oh, this I've always done. That's why they say better way to do it, and they want to resist, you know, because they don't pay you. Because if I'm there to volunteer, it's gonna take me 4 hours, and I can do it in 2 hours, right? I want to use my head, not the muscle that you guys have been using before. So you do it. Yeah, I've encountered stuff like that, you know. But yeah,
you work through it, and you know, you and I, we can now joke and we can tell people, this is what we've had to do, because nobody, you know, somebody 20 years, 30 years younger doesn't even, they don't even think that you struggled at all. Right now, somebody's listening right there in Freetown and saying, oh, that's easy because he was able to go to that elite school, but how can I go there? My, you know, I don't have school fee money. What can the person who might not have the, maybe they don't have the brains, but they definitely might not have the money in their pocket to pay to go to a good school, what can they do if they really like computers and software? Where can they practice online? And just give them some tips, because I hate the attitude of defeated.
Yeah. So then I'll just say this. But before I come to, let me give you another example about, you have to apply yourself, you know. You know, I grew up curious. I wanted to help. I wanted to do stuff, you know. So I give you a simple example. I was back home. I had a nail gun, right, to do a job. And I asked the guy, can you do it? He said, nail gun. Oh, no, I'll do it with my hand. So 4 hours later, he has done probably half a packet of nails, right? And I came over. I said, look, you've been here 4 hours. I gave you a nail gun. You don't want to use it. Let me show you. And in 20 minutes, I've done what he's done in 4 hours. Right. And I say, you see, that's why you have to use machine. So again, and it's, oh, can you give it to me? I say, no, it's for sale. You see, when you charge somebody for 4 hours, right, and you do this manual labor, then you don't have the next job. With this nail gun, you can then charge him less because it's going to take you 20 minutes and then you move to the next job. You see, I say, so I'm going to make it available for you, but you're going to pay for it. So we went through that process again, you know what I'm saying? Now, we first moved that to computers. But when I worked in Silicon Valley, we used to, Y2K, I used to ship drums of computers to Sierra Leone, man, to the university, to people. But they're going to sell it. I say, I don't care. As long as somebody sits on it and types 1, 2, 3, I'm successful. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what they're doing, you know? Just let it be there, you know? Populate the place with it. So one or two people will catch on, right? So it comes down to applying yourself. You gotta be surfing the net. Somebody told me the other day here in France, say, oh, anything I want to do, I go look on YouTube. There's everything on YouTube, you know, that you can look at. And from there, you can go to the specialty places to start. YouTube is a good start, you know what I'm saying? Search engines are a good start, you know? The time people spend on social media, wasting their time and the bandwidth, they could spend that time doing research on the internet. So stuff like, I look at, instead of watching those some stupid movies, there are a lot of series like about how things are made. You know one of those on TV, right? How things are made. Just to watch those to know how things are made in this world, you educate yourself, you know? You learn, you know? You apply yourself to those things, you know? So all I can say is really, there's no one sure way. But if you apply yourself, you want to apply yourself, you like what you're doing, you know, man, the rest is history, honestly, you know, yeah.
I love it. And for all the, you know, one thing that West Africa doesn't do a good job of is the PR. America does a great job of making you feel like America is the one and the only place, right? But here in Sierra Leone, right in Freetown, I've had the young team on who created the slingshot video. I don't know if you've seen the slingshot vehicle. Then they're driving, and they I've had them on, and I've had other great people who are doing things. Does it all start in the mind? Does it start with your family? What is a barrier that you see people who are winning versus people who feel like, you know, I can't make it?
Well, you know, a lot of that stuff, I think it's environmental, really. The environment, you know. I mean, but again, it's a two-factor thing. It's interest. I mean, there are people I grew up with, the same environment, but they were not as interested in certain things. You can't help with that, you know. We're in the same school with guys who we're not interested in other things, you know. So I think, honestly, for me personally, I'll look back and say it's that zest for life. Like my parents made me curious. I wanted to know. I wanted to learn. So I was always like, oh, how can I help? Oh, show me this. I want to do this. And I want to do it for myself, you know. My headmaster is mowing the lawnmower. I'm there running behind him. And eventually he gives me the lawnmower and I'm helping out, you know. And suddenly, I know how to change the oil in the lawnmower. When I went to high school, I was changing oil in cars for the principal, you know, stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? But it's just you yourself, you know? And people always give you a break. People always give you a break, you know? So it's the individual, you know, you got to, I have the get up and go, which is not for everybody. Some people, you have to encourage them and all that, so... there's no one sure way, but when I meet people who have to get up and go, you know, I like that environment. Like, okay, this guy, he doesn't need much, you know. He just needs to give him a little route and he'll be ready to run with it, you know. People who are resourceful, you know, they want to get things done. Yeah.
I tell people, you get your party started, I want to come to your party. I already have Peking. I already have children. So I don't want to raise you. So if your stuff is already going, let's go and flow. Now, for all the things that you've done, and people, if you don't know, I mean, he's worked with all the companies from Visa on up and down. You know, this is what he does.
Stock market, federal, state, you know.
Yeah, some forces. Stuff he can't even mention. Yeah. Some stuff he can't even mention, right? He can't even tell you because it's national security. But what is a community give back that you're doing or that you'd like to do in the future? Whether it's with the Eden Fund and the, you know, and we can talk about that as well. But I just want people to know how you think.
Well, the thing is like I think I mentioned here, the numbers might be too big for some people. So when we look at like $100 million projects, you know, that's the top end of stuff. Look at national projects, right? And how you can help with those to bring them in, bring international conglomerate to help out with, I don't care about extracting natural resources, but, you know, and I'm talking about, like you bring a company like Siemens and they put power across the country. You know what I'm saying? None of these 2x4, you know, measures, okay? All right, one. Just at the top end of scenarios, when you look at national energy, national power generation, national generation transmission, look at national waste recycling treatment, data centers, you know. You want to buy a telecommunication company. So these are the top ends of place. Then you, through that, you can then subcontract to small ISP, small computer stores, computer shops, you know, you bring them in. And in mid-tier, right, I was there and I went to like the internet cafes, right? And they're asking, say, let me just give numbers, not exactly, $5 an hour, right? So I told the guy, I said, listen, if you buy 20 gig of data from the supplier, you can charge $5. How about if you buy 50 gig, 100 gig, it's all half the price. He said, but I can't sell. I said, no, it's possible. You want adoption. So let me work with you. We buy 100 gig. Now you can sell this stuff at $2 an hour, right? And not only that, you can actually give a promotion. Say, first 2 months, you can get $1.50. You know what I'm saying? What you want is more people. You want guys making a line there to use your service, right? So some of this stuff, you are spending time in the street corners, talking to people, explaining to people. The guy who had a charging station had solar, right? And he was paying the other guy next door, generator, to supply him, right? So I told him, I had to sit down with him and I explained to him. And he said, oh, if people don't believe in the solar energy, they say it makes use of their cell phone. I said, well, how you do that is, it's 6 cents, 8 cents to charge a phone, right? I said, so you say, if I charge it on solar, which you don't pay for, you already have a solar panel, you have a set of batteries here, you make it 5 or 6 cents. If they want to charge it off the generator, you make it 9 cents. I said, before you know, and you know nothing's going wrong, you don't have to pay that guy anymore. You have enough money, you buy another panel, right? And we just had the conversation right there, right? And 2 days later, I was walking by, 3 days, I've forgotten. He ran to me. Hey, what are you talking about? True. I said, what? Oh, he said, I can just make the different price. Hey, it'll work. Now, the all one charge and that brother, another can pay our money again. I said, oh, it works for you. Okay, you know. So again, at a business middle level, you have registered companies, you know, and we start to raise money to bring investment to the country. At the bottom, I call it bottom feeders in my village, you know, I work with people and I still work with people, register associations. I get them to understand, like my family put for me, no, I get a job for you, you know. I give you a commission, build a flagpole. Through building a flagpole, I provide money for the equipment. Once you build it, you have experience. You cannot go to the other schools to sell your effort and you have that equipment to build flagpoles, right? And then you know how to do it now, you know. I register associations, agricultural processing associations. The plan is to buy machinery and they can dehorse, create that at that local community level ownership. Oh, I'm a brother. And I say, it doesn't matter. You know, what is going to happen here is that when we do this, it's a company. You get employed. If you perform, you stay. You don't perform, you're out of here. You go find somebody else to do. We hire somebody else. You know, if somebody dies, we hire somebody else. It doesn't mean we're not family. We're still family, but we got a company to run, you know. And this machine costs $5,000. We got to make sure it pays for itself in 18 months' time. Okay, you work here, you're going to get paid. It's going to get paid. It's a job. You know what I'm saying? After we still sit at home and talk and shoot the breeze with our family, but work is work. So that's like at a low level of help, you know, you do. And so there's this strata of engagement in the community that you cannot just do one, you know what I'm saying? And then you go across the levels to be able to help, you know, people who want to help themselves, you know. I tell you this, if you're sitting around with your hands in up your butt, I don't have time for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And if you guys want to see more, or especially for those of you like me who are new citizens of Sierra Leone, and you say, hey, I want to know more, I want you to go check out EdenGroupSL.com, because what you can't do is you can't do it alone. You're going to need teams, especially if you don't live in Sierra Leone full time. You're going to also need people who have maybe tried to do what you've done, and you should ask for, you know, advice and permission and say, hey, is there any way that you can help me with this? These are the things that I do. I don't go in anywhere alone. I need to come like the Chinese with a team of people, like the Jews. I need to come with a team. Can you tell the people, with all that you know, have done, what books do you like readings? Name some of your favorite authors, or maybe some of your favorite conferences that have helped you to make you stand out.
Well, I'll tell you, in the early days, I read a lot of technology and crime and sci-fi books. Okay. And Australia, we used to read Jim Hadley Chase a lot. It was really good books. And up to now, I have probably hundreds of them electronically I read. Later on, became more technology books, because the technology is changing and evolving, man. So you have to just keep up with it. You know? So I read a lot of that. Literature, no specific, honestly, how would I call it? Authors I can pull out, but, you know, people tell me this interesting book, how to do books, you know, again, you know, the technical books, I've really been engaged with, again, just to keep up with the industry, you know. When you talk about teams, I work with teams on the international who have teams of people in the diaspora who are interested in helping in Sierra Leone. We work together with them. In country, we work with teams again, fellows locally, you know, to make sure they look after stuff as we proceed, you know. Of course, it's teamwork. And then going to ask people, a lot of my seniors in school, they are prominent people. I mean, the last presidential election probably had about 4 or 5 guys from who are my seniors in school. You know what I'm saying? So these people, you tap into them, you talk to them, and then you just hear what they have to say. And at the end of the day, you got to run the show, you know, but you do hear, you listen to people, and they share their experiences with you, you know, which helps a lot.
Man, this is good stuff. I want people to understand that, you know, you being in Sierra Leone, I've recommended some books to people. I've sent some books to people. Sometimes they read them. Sometimes they, you know, make an excuse. But the fact that you know, you have proven that the books, the knowledge is there to take you wherever you want to go. I mentioned the Eating Group. Is there any other place, as we wrap up for a hard stop, so AYV make sure that they can play this in the time slot they've allowed. Can you tell people how to contact you if they have serious business and plans and goals? Yes.
We are, it's called Eden Group, EdenGroupSL.com. Info at Sahid, SHID, at EdenGroupSL.com. The website is there. I'm on LinkedIn with my Smart Connect profile, which is really my main gig. Smart Connect, we're operating in a $500 billion market, you know what I'm saying? So that's like really, and I hope from there, that kind of money can go into what we want to do with Eating Group, set up investment fund and funds. We've raised money, we have it in Freetown. We want to look for projects to deliver, create jobs, great industry. I mean, things I look at, I don't look at exporting cocoa. I want to make chocolate, you know what I'm saying? I don't look at, you know, exporting timber or importing furniture. We used to make all those things when I was little, you know. There used to be furniture factories, you know, that made furniture. We didn't have to import those things. So there's a need to create those factories, the manufacturing, and I look forward to how we can participate in those spaces too. Yeah.
If you guys did not catch it, and I thank Saeed for coming on. If you didn't catch it, Saeed just gave you, we call that a tech stunt. He said, I made that stuff as kids. The stuff, you, it's like Jay-Z when he said, I like Miami, but I prefer Saint-Tropez. He's saying he's at another level with it. And if you want to get on that level, sometimes you got to find a mentor, folks. Sometimes you got to find a paid consultant. But if you do nothing else, wherever you're watching this or listening, because this is a top 2% podcast, AskListenNotes.com, I want you to share this game with somebody. It will change their life. You guys, be blessed.
Are you tired of the violence, tired of the injustice, police brutality, rampant discrimination, lack of gun control in this failed bias socioeconomic experiment called America? Or maybe you need a break from the relentless grind and want to regain control of your destiny, your wealth, your health, and your purpose. DiversifiedGame.com has the right course for you. Prepare for my first trip to Africa. Looking to reconnect with your roots, start a new business, or just a fresh start. Africa, aka the motherland, is waiting. Don't let the Chinese and the Mzungus have the fun and also take over the motherland. From Cairo to Mombasa, from Dakar to Cape Town, Africa has something for everyone, from business opportunities to the most amazing people, safety, leisure, and landscapes. So opportunities abound. It is time for the diaspora to reconnect with their roots. Time to reconnect with the birthplace of humanity. Africa is the last frontier. Get your head in the game and reclaim your legacy. The writing is on the wall. Babylon is falling. Give up the stress, grind, and violence inflicted on our people on this continent and prepare for a journey of restoration and joy by connecting with the land of your ancestors. Check out our new course and kick off your adventure at diversifiedgame.com.
Thanks for getting in the game and listening to the Diversified Game Podcast with Kellen, the number one show pairing entrepreneurship with diverse and inclusive perspectives like wine and cheese, bagel and lox, fish and grits. Be sure to visit DiversifiedGame.com for all the good stuff. Join in the conversation and discover more content.